riddle. Which Haftarah is the Haftarah for two different parashiyos? Not two times a year, Hanukkah. Two parashiyos. Guess what? Halayk ibnei Kushiyim is the Haftarah of Achrei Mois every time Achrei Mois, always. And it's the Haftarah of Kedoshim most of the time. And the reason is this. Achrei Mois and Kedoshim, Achrei Mois has Haftarah that begins Halayk ibnei Kushiyim atem li. And imprinted in the Chumashim at the end of Kedoshim, there's Haftarah from Yecheskel. Whenever the two parashiyos are together, we learn the Haftarah of Achrei Mois, rather than the Haftarah of Kedoshim, because the Haftarah of Kedoshim is more beautiful, and the Haftarah of Achrei Mois is, B'nai Kshim, is a beautiful Haftarah, and the Haftarah of Kedoshim talks about the Avla of Yerushalayim. So we don't want to talk about that. So whenever they're together, we lay in Achrei Mois. Now this year they're not together, and we're still going to lay in B'nai Kushiyim. And the reason is, because since last week was Machar Chodesh, we didn't lay in it. So Memela, we lay in it this week, as if when they're together, the same thing. The only time we ever lay in the Haftarah of Kedoshim on Kedoshim is when they're separate, and neither Rosh Chodesh nor Machar Chodesh is the Haftarah of Achrei Mois. No, yeah. Okay. It's only half. And yes, I are.
It's
two Haftarahs. Okay, Seitzei and Noyach is and yes, sir. One in the Shiva, then the Chemto. Okay, good. It's also another attraction of Parshas Amos is that it's only nine psukim. Whether that's a haftraction that made them choose it or not, I'm not sure. Maybe the shortest haftar is the shortest one, you know, probably. Your bar mitzvah, they did it special for AB, you should have a short haftar. So.
It took them a long time to teach me.
Well, you have to learn to pronounce the word kushiyim. It's not an easy word. And despite the fact that short haftar, the first psukim have numerous different pshatim, which are mamish opposites. Perek Tes of Amos is the first psukim of psukim of Musar. And the last psukim are psukim of, the last five psukim are definitely psukim of Nechama, and the first six psukim are definitely psukim of Musar. The question is where the change takes place, and the Rishayim have two pshatim in these words. So let's learn now. I guess we'll give Rashi Kadima since he's Rashi, and we'll see. Halayk ibnei Kushiyim atem li b'nei Yisrael no Hashem. Hashem says, you are to me like the children of Kush. Kush are the Africans. Halayk ibnei Kushiyim atem li b'nei Yisrael. Now, what does that mean? You are like the Africans. So there are those who darshan it, the Gnai, as part of the Musar, that includes Rashi. And those who darshan it Lishmach, the Malbim calls it Divrei Tanchumin, who darshan it Lishmach. Those who darshan it the Gnai, Rashi says, Halayk ibnei Kushiyim atem li b'nei Yisrael. The b'nei Kushiyim, the Africans were idolaters, in a very primitive way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're like the Kushiyim. This is an expression that a Kushi cannot change his color. Hayachlev Kushi Oirei. That Klal Yisrael is not willing to change. Klal Yisrael are like the Kushiyim. They stuck to Avodah Zarah. Now, before I say anything, I should point out that Amos was a Navi for the 10 Shvatim, for the Northern Kingdom. Amos and Hoshea were the two Naviim for the Northern Kingdom, Hoshea from Reuven and Amos, I believe, from Asher. At the same time that Yeshaya was the Navi for Yehuda. And No, don't start with that. It's nothing to do with Ethiopians. The Pasuk is not saying that every Kushi was an Avodah Zarah. In general, the Kushiyim were Avodah Zarah, and it's a derogatory comment. But you are like B'nai Kushiyim, says Hashem. That's the derogatory translation of the Pasuk.
By the way, Batsko calls it the children of Ethiopians.
It's not fair to say Kush is definitely Ethiopia. So it's not a fair translation. Ethiopia didn't exist as a country. Africa was in ancient times was not a... Even Europe was city-states for a great deal of time, and certainly Africa. There was no Ethiopia, there was no Libya, and there was no... At any rate, what?
This is Kush.
In modern Hebrew, it's that way. It doesn't mean that... Anyway, be that as it may. It means the B'nei Cham. Now, there are those who darshan l'shvach, including the Medrash, and says that Klal Yisrael k'bnei kushiyim atem li, you're like the B'nei kushiyim, your faithful servants. The times that slave trade existed, the kushiyim were slaves, and they were, for the most part, loyal to their masters. Halayk k'bnei kushiyim atem li. Like beloved children, also like positive. Okay, very good. The redact does an unusual thing of bringing a list of pshatim on this pasuk, which he doesn't usually do. But anyway, the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in his Siches Musar has actually three different mamorim entitled Eved Hashem, in which he quotes this praise of Klal Yisrael. And in there, he answers one of the most difficult questions in a beautiful way. One of the most difficult questions on the Chumash is the idea that when Klal Yisrael came to Mitzrayim for 210 years, it was a Kor HaBarzel. It somehow perfected the Jewish people. And the stubborn question, which is very hard to get a good answer, is that what kind of Kor HaBarzel? When they went in, they were tzaddikim, they were Tol Shvatim and their children. They were tzaddikim under Yaakov Avinu. And when they went out, they were in the Memteh Sharei Tuma. And that's one of the great difficulties in understanding the Kor HaBarzel. Chaim Shmulevitz says, the purpose of Mitzrayim was to teach Klal Yisrael the mentality of a servant, of a slave, someone who is Meshubid Labailov. Somebody who follows his master's instructions. So that, which we consider to be a beneficial trait, it depends who the master is, but if the master is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that was a Kor HaBarzel to train Klal Yisrael to submit their will to the will of the Rabbi Nishalem.
Rabbi Yisrael also similar.
Rabbi Yisrael says it also. So it's a, it's, he explains that in the concept, context of Halayk Bnei Kushiyim Atem Li, and, that way, it's complementary. It's the very Tanchumin to Klal Yisrael.
Well,
they need it in preparation for becoming Mitzvah Vavais. In the preparation for becoming Avdei Hashem, there was a training period. Well, Chazal says it's a better Milo when you're Mitzvah, because there's Yetzirah against it. But be that as it may, the point of Mitzrayim was not that they were mechuyev mitzvahs in Mitzrayim, but that they developed this trait of being mishabe daitan of listening to instructions, which Jews seem to have lost over the generations of Hagolos. But
even in Mitzrayim, we had problems listening.
To the Mitzrayim, not to our masters. They are Mitzrayim. There were no Nevi'im coming to give Musar in Mitzrayim. So it was a different thing. Anyway, so that is that's the point. Agav the Radak says Apidigduk, B'nei Kushiyim, the Chirik is on the first Yud, like Mitzriyim. When you have two Yuds, he says it's a Chirik Mole is a Chirik that has a Yud after it. So he says Kushiyim is the first Yud has a Chirik Mole.
So the Yud has a Dagish.
Why?
First one.
Fouls what? It's a strong yod. It's two chiriks in a row. Okay. Anyway, end of the pasuk likewise has two understandings. Haloi. Now read the words. I'm sorry. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu married, took a woman who was an isha kushis lokach, who took. A woman of Cushis. What? There are numerous translations. Rashi says she was pretty. Which is... She was Mishuna. But what are you saying that Cushy there means she followed her husband's instructions? She followed the instructions of her husband? That's interesting. It could be. And it doesn't have your wife. I mean, so, okay, at any rate, an interesting maral, an Isha Kushis Lokach. The maral says that every couple is like two pieces of a puzzle piece. So they each one complements the other. Says so you have a puzzle, you put two pieces together, then they come together. Moshe Rabbeinu was complete in and of himself. So there was really no puzzle piece for him. So he says that he married a woman who was a Isha Kushis. She was somebody willing to, able to adapt, like another flat piece that could adapt in a puzzle and just, you know, attach itself to it, to the other piece. That's the morale.
You didn't have a plan.
What?
You're saying is that what? She could adapt. That's why.
That's why she was a perfect match, my sure, man.
So, and yet, Miriam.
You didn't have any complaints to.
No, I'm doing it later on. Wasn't that
no, she complained that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't faithful to his wife. That he abandoned her needs. That was his tine. It wasn't a tine against her. Okay, good. Anyway, the end of the pasuk is Halo Yis Yisrael Halaisi Meiras Mitzrayim. Pasuk starts off wonderful. I took the Jews out of Egypt. Uplishtim Mekaftar Va'arom Mikir. And I took the Plishtim out of Kaftar and the Aram out of Kir. Now what in the world is going on here? What is the beginning of the Pasuk have to do with the end of the Pasuk? Some says, Yo B'dei Kushim, either good or bad. And look, I took the Jews out of Egypt and the Plishtim out of Kaftar and the Aram out of Kir. Like what in the world does one have to do with the other? So Rashi, again, there are translations here. Rashi understands it B'lashim Bitmiyah. To say, Did I took the Jews out of Mitzrayim? Did I take the Plishtim out of Kaftar? Did I take Aram out of Kir? Hashem says, I was faithful to Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael should be faithful to me. That's how Rashi learns. The others learn, the Radak looks like Rashi, but then he brings another Pshat, I think Ibn Ezra, that I took the Plishtim out of Kaftar, I took Aram out of Kir, and yet I didn't choose them as a people. In the ebb and flow of history, many nations are granted independence. But that doesn't mean they become an Am Hashem. So therefore, that's what Hashem is saying. I took the Plishtim out of Kaftar, Aram and Akir. I didn't choose them as a people. I chose you as a people. So this is the Tup Shatim. Now, Agav, we have here in the Radak I had at home, was your print. Can I have your print for a minute? I'll just find it. It's a very long redak. I've told you numerous times the rule in Nach. If somebody asked me where it is, I would just say, the Mefarshim say it all the time, but I couldn't point to it. I told you a rule that very often a Navi says a Nevuah in Lashon Avar, even though it didn't happen yet. That on the Haris Bavel, Shom Yashavnu Gam Bachinu, is Lashon Avar. But Bavel didn't exist yet. Nothing happened with Bavel when David lived. So there's a rule that a Navi often says a Nevuah in Lashon Avar in past tense, even though it didn't happen yet, because in his vision, Hashem said it's happened, and in his vision it happened. The Radak says it here, on this Pasuk. He says that this was before Plishtim was taken out of Kaftar. He says it happened in the days of Tzidkiyahu. He says, Ki divrei Nevuah, heim b'mekoymes rabim, Avar b'mokim asid. Very often, Lashon Avar, in the place of Asin, Shariyu Ki'ilu Nasa, Kidivri Akel Yisbarach Emes. The Navi sees the words of God that are true. So in the future, Mark, you're the monitor for this. You remember the Radak is an almost perfect test on the Pasuk of Beit Kavushim. The Radak is saying that it's Lashon Avar, that Hashem is saying, as if you already took the Plishtim out of Kaftar, and now Rabbi already took out of Kir. But it didn't happen yet. It's going to happen in the future. So therefore, he answers that that's the style of a Navi. The style of a Navi is, when he sees the Navoi, he sees it happening. So he says it Lashon Avar. Because the Dvar Hashem is set, even though it didn't happen yet. It's a rule for Nach that Navois are said this way. Yeah, but it's not because of Mugdam Mocher, because the Navi is speaking and he wasn't alive when it happened. It happened after his death. So it's not as if it's just a Mugdam Mocher. So,
Nevuah could be chaser. He said he sees it happened already and it's set, but it's not set because
Nevuah could be chaser. It's true, and don't know. The Navi could says it the way he sees it, and then if it changes, I guess. I get the questions coming. Agav, it bothered me in this, which is an excellent set, the Judaica set, the commentary. It bothered me, they talk about Philistines from Kaftar. Yeah. So he goes into a very interesting the style of academics, right? Sadi so going to death face Kaftar west of Diamisha, or Damya to the west of Port Said. See the itinerary of Benjamin of Tudela, Kaftar of Aferah, page 41, Targum Yonis and Septuaginta, identify it with Cappadocia in Asia Minor. In that case, it's not an island, it's coastless. He goes through a whole scholarly, see also Bieberfeld, Universal Jewish History, volume 1, page 86. He goes through a whole list of Maram Akaimis on where the Pelishtins came from. He misses the Ramban and Bereishis, the Ramban and Chumash. It's a very big time on him to quote all of these Bieberfeld, Universal Jewish History, to miss the Ramban. The Ramban and Chumash says, the Pelishtim came from Mitzrayim, which fits Rav Sadia Gaon, who says Port Said, which is Mitzrayim. He says they came from Egypt. And that's why there's no country of Pelishtim. There are five cities of Pelishtim in Eretz Yisrael. There are a tribe, an Egyptian tribe, that came up. That's why in the Sheva Amimin of Eretz Canaan, the Pelishtim are not one of them. The Pelishtim are a separate group of people, and they had five cities, and.
But they were there by Avram.
So they were there early. As he says, Abimelech came from. Right. Even though they were there, like you say, from the time of Avram. They have five cities. Azar, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Gas. Right. Those are the five cities that they had. And that was there. Okay. Plisha Bekata of Aram Mikir. Hine eine Hashem lekecha bamlocha hachatoa. The bamlocha hachatoa here is the ten shvatim, the northern kingdom. Ishmadeti oisam al pnei hadama, and I will destroy them from the land. Efes, however, kiloi hashmeid ashmeid espes Yaakov no Hashem. Even though the ten shvatim will be sent to Golos, the house of Yaakov will not be destroyed. Ki, Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow night will come back.